provided for us, but it's not just about us. Like William Booth's message to these guys is about others. We primarily will think about what's good for us because really, we're all pretty selfish. I mean, I am, okay, I'll admit it. This is my confession. Hello, I'm Jim and I'm selfish. No. No, we think about ourselves more than we think about other people. It's like they say you go somewhere and think, oh, what do these people think about me? Well, they don't. They're thinking about themselves, not you. It's pretty true. But really, God thinks about his plan for our lives, not just based on what it will do for us, but also what it will do for other people. Because if we get in the right place, if we're doing the things that God wants us to do, it will help us, but it will also help other people, and it will further his kingdom. When he called me to teach the word, to go to Europe, and you know all these things he's wanted me to do, it's not just so I could walk in his will, but so that I can help his kingdom move forward, be an effective part of the body, and help other people. If you've got, for example, one part of your body that doesn't work right, it affects every part. You know, a couple of years ago, I was in my apartment, didn't have my shoes on, you know, I'm sometimes just barefoot at home, you know, whatever. It's just my place. Nobody's there to tell me anything different. And I'm walking along, and I hit my foot, actually my little toe, on one of the, what do you call it, the sides of the doorway there, door jamb, whatever. And it cracked, and I was like, ah! And actually, my toe was kind of sticking out crooked. I'm like, oh, that's not good. So I kind of pushed it back in and prayed and everything. But you don't think about your little toe until it gets hurt. Yeah. Or even if, like, you've cut your finger or anything like that, you know, some part of your body that you hurt or is not working right, you notice it all the time, don't you? When you have something that's not functioning properly, you notice it and you're very aware of it. It's the same thing in the body of Christ or even in the local body of the church. If something's not working the way it should, then there's a problem. Here's what I believe. We should be in a continual process of growth and development, which involves kind of a self-analysis through the Word, by the Holy Spirit, through our spiritual leaders and things we're going to hear, which is why I intentionally, when I came here, we got in this conversation last night about some of the stuff I'm doing, and I'm saying, you know, because I really don't take much of a break. Part of that is because I am involved in a lot of stuff, but part of that's me. And not in a good way. But for me, I've decided to live my life to do what God wants me to do. And that's what makes me happy. Jesus said his meat or his the thing that sustained him was doing the will of God. But we're still in a natural body. Right? And I sometimes have been really bad about not paying attention to the natural side of things. So when I get around some good spiritual leadership, like your pastors, and I have a lot of respect for them. They've helped me a lot. I didn't say this last year because Pastor Bob wasn't here when I spoke at the service. But really, I give both of them a lot of credit for helping me to do what I'm doing because they always say things that help me. And I'm not just saying it because I'm here at their church and all this, but it's just a fact that they have helped me all through my Christian life, since I've known them, at least. Maybe you were praying for me before that. Lord, I'll meet this really weird guy from Wisconsin. Please help him. Or Pastor Sibile, when I go to America, I'm going to meet this really strange guy named Jim, and Lord, please help him now. But since we've been in a relationship together, they've spoken things into my life that have helped me. And that's why when I'm with them, I will purposely talk about things I might not talk about with other people. Because I know they have a lot of wisdom from God. They love me. They want to help me. And even sometimes just sharing with them the things I got in my heart, God will help me to see some things differently. Because when we were just talking about this last night, I started seeing some of this different than I'd seen it before. That's the value of good spiritual leadership. Go over to Ephesians chapter 4. We were just reading a thing in Hebrews where he said, look, by this time you ought to be teachers, and now you got to have somebody else teach you. That's a sad condition, but it's a lot of Christians today. They're not a functioning part of the body because they're not doing what God wants them to do. They're still having somebody to reteach them the basic principles that they've already learned. This is why Paul is praying in Ephesians, that the people would get a revelation about what they heard, the things that God had done, so they could move forward. Because until you know where you're going, until you have a revelation of the goal or destination you're supposed to get to in life, you're never going to go anywhere. You can get in your car and turn on the engine and rev the engine, but until you start driving, you're not going anywhere. Right? You get in a car and say, I want to go to Los Angeles. I want to go to California. You sit in the car. Vroom, vroom, vroom. You're not going to get anywhere until you start moving. Yeah, well, I want to get on the highway. But to get on the highway, you got to go down one of the city streets. Well, I don't like the city streets. Well, too bad. You won't get to the highway until you get on that city street. But I don't like the other cars. Too bad. We're so focused on what do I want, what's going to make me happy, that we're not following the plan of God, going through some of those hard spots. Because the devil will throw everything in your way. He's already defeated, right? He can't hurt us. Jesus defeated him at the cross, but he's still got some influence in this world. The Bible calls him the God of this world, and he's blinded the minds of some people. How does he do that? Did he get a big blindfold and they're walking around like this? No. He'll give them thoughts and suggestions. Just like the Holy Spirit will guide us and speak to us, the devil will speak to you too. Now, you don't be scared and nervous, but he'll give you thoughts and ideas in your mind why you can't do it, why it won't work. I still, even today, October, was it 24th? 2015, and I've been doing this for 20 years. I'm sitting down at Pastor Bob's office looking at some of my notes, and God's talking to me about what I'm going to say. And then the thought comes, you know, it's not going to be very good, and people are not going to like what you say. He'll tell you that all the time. This is one area where I wish Christians would imitate the devil, because he never quits. He is persistent. He never gives up. You can defeat him today and put those thoughts down and say, I will not listen to you. I don't accept this stuff. And he'll come back again tomorrow. You're not good enough. You're not smart enough. You're not pretty enough. You're not wealthy enough. You're not cool enough. You're not whatever enough. He'll always tell you that your chance has passed you by. It's too late. It's all a lie. Well, I'm not sure. Is that the devil or not? Anything that's negative is the devil. Now, here's a good one. Remember this. The devil is a liar, right? He's a liar. So when the devil tells you you can't make it, it's a lie. He even agrees with God, but he doesn't recognize it. When he tells you it's not going to work, then you know he's a liar. And it is going to work. Stay with the Word, follow the Holy Spirit. That's how we do what God wants us to do. But another big element is what we're going to start talking about here in Ephesians chapter 4. The why we're doing this is because this is how we walk in the fullness of what Jesus provided. This is how we get to where God wants us to go in life. This is how we live a happy, satisfied, peaceful life. This is how we get all those benefits that we want so much, is by doing the will of God. How do we do it? Focus on the Word. Renew your mind. Fill yourself with the truth. Fill yourself with the Spirit. Listen to the direction of the Holy Spirit, even when he leads you somewhere that's not so nice. Even if it's like Jesus, where the Holy Spirit led him into the wilderness. It was the Holy Spirit that led Jesus into the wilderness. And what was the result? It said Jesus came back and did 3 years of therapy? No. Jesus went through this wilderness experience, but he came out even stronger. He said he returned in the power of the Spirit. He was tempted by the devil. He faced some difficult times, but Jesus always came out stronger because he stayed connected with God. Like you see him talking about in the book of John, he says, I only do and I only say the things that God tells me to say. That's why he was successful. We're sometimes doing a good work and we're not producing fruit because we're not really doing what God wants. And we're not doing it the way he wants. We're resisting because we don't like it. We don't want to do it. We're so many times we're trying to cooperate with God and not just submit to God. So many times, instead of just obeying what the Word says, we're trying to see how we can fit the Word into what we already believe or what we already want to do. I actually heard a guy say this on Christian TV. He said, I've learned that I just do the things that I want to do and God will bless it. And I'm like, meh. Like, well, in a way, if you're walking with God, if you're following him, if your heart is right, you can follow the path that God has for you and he'll continue to direct you. But it's not just that I do whatever I want and he blesses me. I like the story from in the Old Testament with David. He wants to build a temple for God. He said, this isn't right that I'm living in this great place and there's no place for God. I want to build this temple. So he talks to the prophet because David didn't have the Holy Spirit. He talks to the prophet, and then the prophet said, God is with you. You do whatever you've got in mind. You do whatever's on your heart. You do it, because God will bless it. There is that element that's true. But then God speaks to the prophet, says, no, 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 you tell David he shouldn't do it. And this is the great thing, because God doesn't just bring correction. He always brings direction. He doesn't just tell us what we shouldn't or even should do without anything further. And God, through the prophet, told David, no, you're not supposed to build the temple, but your son's going to build it, and you can do things to prepare. So that's what David did. He didn't say, I wanted to build the temple. I want to build it. It's not fair. This isn't right. Huh? But that's how we do sometimes. Well, nobody here. It's the other church I'm going to go to next week, right? California. They're the ones. Yeah, not here. It's like when I'm over in Europe, I always say, yeah, all the crazy people in America, right? Not here. And they're all like, eh. They don't know what to say. But we've got to learn that following God's plan is better than following our plan. Doing it his way is better than trying to do it our way. Let's get to these verses here. Ephesians chapter 4, and let's start here in verse 11. Where it says, and he, talking about Jesus, yeah, we'll start in verse 11. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. And stop right there. He talks about the equipping or completely furnishing, he says, the saints, the body of Christ. What's the job of the spiritual leader, the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher? To equip the saints for the work of the ministry. The job of people like me and your pastors, the spiritual leaders, is to equip the rest of the saints, not to do the work of the saints. It's like you got the coach. In Europe, we call him the trainer, you know, for the soccer team. But here we talk about the coach. The coach's job is not to play the game. The coach does not get out on the field and start running around, and you got, what, 53 guys on the football team, and they're like, go, coach, go. But that's how churches work a lot of times. You got all the church saying, yay, pastor, you're wonderful. Keep going. Work harder. Work faster. I know, work 29 hours, 8 days a week. Keep going, pastor. And we got everybody sitting there cheering them on, and they're not doing anything. And the problem is, if we're those kind of people, and I've been there, but if we're the kind of people that are not doing the work and we're letting the spiritual leaders do all that work, we're robbing ourselves. We're only hurting ourselves. When we're not involved in our place in the body, we're hurting ourselves more than anybody else. Now, I'm sure, unfortunately, we've all seen people who are spiritual leaders and pastors and people who think they're the king, you know, and they want everybody to be their little subjects and slaves, and that's not right. There's been a lot of stuff that's been out of line and abusive and things like that. That's never right. We follow, like Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. That's why we've got to know what the word says and learn how to listen to the Spirit. So if we would be in a situation where our leader or somebody tries to tell us something that's contrary to the word or against the leading of the Spirit, we know. Like the Bereans, there's a comparison. The Bereans in the book of Acts, it said these people searched the scriptures daily to see if these things were so. They checked into the word every day to see if what they heard was true. Now the people in Athens, it said those people just like to hear something new all the time. And we got a lot of Christians who are like the Athenians and not like the Bereans. They just want to hear new stuff all the time. Instead of for themselves checking to see, is this really true? Is that really right? Like the church I used to go to, and I'm a young Christian, don't know a lot of stuff. And I'd heard a lot of people talking about fasting and fasting. Ooh, fasting and fasting. I'm like, oh, what, fasting? I don't get it. What is that? So I talked to the pastor. And I said, Pastor, what is fasting all about? I don't quite understand it. So he looks at me and says, Jim, gets real spiritual, Jim, fasting shows God that you're serious and he'll work quicker in your life because of it. And I remember when he said it down on the inside, it's like, that's not right. Now, I didn't know what the Bible said about it at the time. But in my heart, the Holy Spirit was saying, no, 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 that's not true. We don't just accept anything the leader says. We check it with the word. But when they're saying things that are in line with the word, it's helping to equip us. And if we resist it, guess what happens? We won't be equipped. Same thing we see in 2 Timothy, where it talks about every word of God, the word of God is inspired and is good for all these things, so we can be thoroughly equipped. If we don't have the word and the direction of the Spirit and input from good spiritual leaders, we will never, and I mean never, like in not ever, we will never reach the goals that God has for us. This is why it's such a shame that in so many churches, the pastors are so overworked because they're doing everything, and all the rest of the saints are saying, yay, pastor, go work harder. Because then the saints, the people in the church, are not fulfilling their part, and the pastor's restricted from doing his part. And it's just true. Now, that's something we don't always like to hear. You know, we live in the what is it, Snap Face and Twit Book and, you know, Insta Chat and whatever. You know, we live in the world with all this stuff where everybody can make their comment and everybody can say everything, and we're all kind of on the same level. And what I put on Facebook is as good as what anybody puts on Facebook. And I can say this, and I can, and we somehow have got to this point where we think we're all equal. That even if someone's called to be a spiritual leader, that somehow we're on the same level with them. Oh, that's just Bob and Sabile. Yeah, Trump. Yeah, they're like the pastor, you know. We get in danger of, it's not a Bible verse, but there's that phrase we've all, I'm sure, heard, familiarity breeds contempt. What happens, I've seen this with my own life. In fact, when we started Bible school over there, you know, in German, it's like with some other languages, you have the formal and the informal way of talking to people. And we tried to figure out how can we, you know, the students are going to say, what do we call you? How do we refer to you? And we thought about, do we have to be, you know, am I Herr Rogan or am I Jim or brother, pastor? What are they supposed to call me? And we said, we don't want this thing about Herr Rogan, because that sounds like, you know, you're up on a pedestal somewhere and I'm down here in the dirt. We didn't want to have that. But then the problem is when people start to get to know you, because we were in the classes and we were teaching and our schools really aren't a lot bigger than this, and people get to know you and they might ask you questions. But what happens a lot of times is when you start making a more natural connection with a person, you start losing the spiritual connection. Like in our church. Our pastor is named Alex Harton. He's awesome. You would like him. You would like a seminar with him too. I'm not inviting him here because he's busy in Germany. But he's a great guy. The thing is, let me just talk minister talk. You know, the thing is, this guy, he's younger than me. In fact, I've been a Christian as long as he's been alive. And he was my student in Bible school. Who does he think he is standing up there telling me something? I know something to say too. You know, I ought to get up there on Sunday morning and say, step aside, Pastor Alex, because I know something too. Let me talk for a while. Blah, blah, blah. Now, some people get that kind of attitude, because I'm friends with Alex. I mean, we're buddies. He's an awesome guy, him and his wife Rebecca, and they do a great job leading our church. But if I start looking at him as just Alex, that's just Alex. If I look at him that way, what's going to happen? It's just going to be just like Jesus in his hometown, where they're like, who is this guy? He's the son of the carpenter. And they lose that spiritual connection. And if you don't have honor and respect for somebody, you won't receive from them. If you look at them like they're equal to you, you see it even in sports. There was a guy, I was just reading in the newspaper, some guy, he was arguing with the general manager, one of these football players, in the parking lot, and they cut him. They got rid of him. Because this guy thinks that the general manager and him are somehow on the same level, and he can get in the face of the general manager, and that's okay. It's not okay. And they cut the guy from the team. I forget which one it was. I just read about it. Doesn't matter. But it's the same thing we see in churches, and I see it all over the place. Because I go to different churches. I go to Bible schools, and I see how people act. Even sometimes I go to a Bible school and they're like, it's Jim. Oh, hallelujah. And they're up there and they're taking, oh, hallelujah. Oh, that's why. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh. And then I come there the second time, the third time, and they're like, yeah, it's Jim. What's happening on my phone? Ooh, Twitter book. Nice. Facegram. Yeah, great. Hey. Did he say something important? In fact, I just had this happen somewhere. In one of the breaks, and the students are not supposed to, you know, talk to the teachers during all the breaks, because then the teacher never has a break and can't look at their notes. But this guy comes up to me and he starts asking me a question. And I said, that is a really good question. Let me make a note. So I make a note. I said, I want to say something about that in the class. So I'm teaching the next hour and I get to this point and I'm like, yeah, the Holy Spirit gives me an idea how to bring up this question he had, how to make this point that'll help everybody and give him the answer. So I'm talking, and I know the Holy Spirit speaking through me. I know he's giving me words to say, and I look at this guy, and he's on his phone. He's like texting, and I'm thinking, dude, I'm giving you a word from heaven and you're on the phone. I'm thinking, the answer's not on the phone. I'm giving you the answer and you're not listening. And I almost started screaming like, ah! He was sitting about where Don is. I'm not talking about Don. I keep looking over here. One of the two Dons. No, it's not Don or Don, right? But he was sitting over there and I'm just thinking, you're missing it. God has given me something to say. I've come here and I've got something to tell you. I've been praying about this. I've been studying. I've been preparing. And I get there and you're not even listening. I'm thinking, oh. So then I got on this thing about what would it be like to hear Jesus? And they're like, oh, hallelujah. I said, how would you act if Jesus was standing there talking to you? Oh, yes, I would listen. Well, how do you act when your pastor's talking to you? How do you act when the man of God, so to speak, the minister, the teacher is up there talking to you? Do you listen to it like it's God speaking to you? I'm not saying I'm God and I'm superior to everybody in the human race, but one way that we are going to do the things that God called us to do is listen to our spiritual leaders, because God has given them to us, to equip us and help us. And if we're not following our spiritual leaders, we are not going to do what God wants. And again, I know this has been taken to the extreme, and a lot of people have pushed this too far. And in case you're wondering, this is not something anybody told me to say, because I wanted to talk about this. When Pastor Bob and I were emailing about this, he's like, well, what subjects, you know, do you want to talk about, whatever? What do you think? And I had this whole thing in mind. This was my idea. And so we were emailing back and forth, and we were talking about yesterday. Pastor Bob sent me an email, and I gave him the list of all these things. He said, you know, some of this stuff we haven't really had anybody talk about. And I emailed back. I said, I almost laughed when I saw your reply, because that's what I've been thinking about. Because to me, this is like an epidemic in the body of Christ. And it's hurting all of us. I've got spiritual leaders, like I just told you, when I was here and we're talking last night, I'm listening to them. I'm receiving what they're saying because I know they're spiritual leaders. Even if you're a spiritual leader, you still got a spiritual leader. And when I go to church on Sunday morning and I'm listening to the young Pastor Alex, who was my Bible school student one time when I was the teacher, I'm sitting there taking notes and listening to him. And there's been several times he'll say something, and I think, I've never thought of that. I never saw it like that. That's the answer that I need. But if I sit there, that's just Alex. Whatever. If I have that kind of attitude, that disrespecting, dishonoring attitude, that's just the pastor, then I'm going to miss some things that God is trying to get to me. I'm going to miss some of the things I need to equip me. Now, again, if you find a spiritual leader, a pastor who wants to be your king, run away and run away fast. Go somewhere else as quick as you can, because that is definitely wrong. And there's been some real abuses, and I could tell you a lot of stories, a lot of sad stories about people that have gone to churches or been involved in ministries where they have been misused and mistreated, and they're messed up, and some of them they never seem to recover. It's important to have the right kind of spiritual leader. That's why you need to know what the Word says, and you need to learn to listen to the Holy Spirit. So if they get up there and say, thus saith the Lord, listen to me more than the Bible. I was actually in a church once. I actually visited a church once. I'm glad to say he wasn't a Rhema graduate. It's about the only good thing I can say. And this pastor actually said, don't bring your Bibles anymore. I'll tell you what the Bible says. I'm like, say what? What you talking about, Willis? But I was like, dude, what are you talking about? Don't bring your Bible anymore. And he said, I don't want to waste the time to turn to the verses. I'm like, wasting time turning to Bible verses? It's a waste of time? No, it's the best time. The best thing you can do with your time is turn to Bible verses. That was a bad spiritual leader. In fact, this is even worse. This person, I knew somebody who worked at that church for a while, worked, past tense. The pastor was gone one week. It was a larger church. Pastor was gone. They had the associate or somebody get up and speak. So this other person was like, and they talked to me about it, trying to get some advice. They said, I had a question, not that I so much disagree, but I had a question about what this other person said while the pastor was gone. So the pastor comes back, and I said, now, pastor, I've got some questions about this stuff, and is this really right what he said? And the pastor got mad. How dare you? How dare you question the man of God in the pulpit? And the pastor turned around, stomped off, went to his office, and slammed the door. But it didn't end there. the pastor, I guess, calmed down a little bit, comes back out to the person and says, you need to go home today, and you need to write why you need to respect God or whatever, write this little paper. And I'm like, you're kidding me. Like a little kid in school, go home and write 50 times, I will not disrespect the pastor. I'm like, that's bizarro world. That is wrong. But the other side, God has given us spiritual leaders to equip us, and if we're not going to follow the spiritual leader, we're going to be in a lot of trouble. And if we, including me, if we allow our pastors and our leaders to do all the things we ought to be doing, then they're not as effective as they ought to be, and we're all missing something that way too. Now, in our church, I got a little PowerPoint thing I'll try and show tomorrow. We've got a thing in our church during the week we call Word Fest. And we have our Sunday services, and then we have this thing called Word Fest, where we have 1 hour of teaching from the Bible, and then we have another hour, we take a break, and then we have another hour of either teaching on prayer in prayer school, or we have teaching on healing. So Pastor Alex announces we're going to have Word Fest. So you know what I did? I don't need to listen to the word. I got the word for myself. I'm a teacher, preacher. I can do it. No. I said, when are we going to do this? I'll come and help. I'll come and help. Because I don't want him to do it. Because if he's doing it, if he's carrying in equipment, if he's setting up stuff because we meet in a rented building, if he's doing all that, that's taken away from what he's supposed to do. Then we started doing this for a while, and he says, well, Jim, I'm going to be gone this week. Can you do it for me? Can you teach? And I said, I didn't start doing this so I could teach. My goal was not, you know what I'll do? I'll start helping him, and then he'll let me teach. No, that wasn't my goal. My goal was, I see a need. There's something that needs to be done. I can do it, and there's no reason I shouldn't do it. God didn't tell me don't do it. There's nothing in the Bible that says don't do it, so I still do it. Even when I'm the teacher, I go and help because I don't want somebody else to do it. And how we are with our leaders, if we don't do it, they're going to do it. Like I talked about John Grunewald loading the van. And we're like, you shouldn't keep doing this. No, we need the help. Yeah, we need that, but you are not supposed to do that. That's something somebody else ought to be doing. Somebody said to me one time, they said, well, we need extra help unloading the van later and all, and can you help us? And I said, you know, I've got to do this other thing, part of the ministry work. I've got to do this. And they said, oh, but we need help. And I said, here's the thing. I said, you can get a lot of people to carry a box or move stuff. I said, but I'm the only person who can do this. Not to glorify me, not to put myself up, but this is the thing. We've all got a place. We've all got something to do. And if we're not in the right place, we're not going to be producing the good fruit like we should. We're going to be doing a good work, but we won't produce the right kind of fruit. I'm stronger than a lot of people in my church, in our church over there, and I'm part of this pastoral team. I'm stronger than a lot of people in that church, but I should not be carrying boxes. I still do a lot of times because there's nobody else who's doing it. Because other people, they're too tired during the week, and they can't get up on Sunday morning. And you know, it's not right for them because they need to relax, and I don't. I've sometimes gotten home on the train or whatever from teaching in a school. I'm teaching the whole weekend, you know, 4 hours on Friday, 8 hours on Saturday. I get home at like midnight, 1 o'clock in the morning, and then I get up early to go to church so I can teach the kids. Because other people, they couldn't, right? Because it's too hard for them. But I should do that. No, I shouldn't do that. No, I need to get there early to help unload the van because other people can't. Yeah, that makes sense, doesn't it? And as long as we've got that kind of thing happening in churches and in the body of Christ, we are not going to go forward to the next level like we should. And again, I'm not talking about having a coronation ceremony and putting the crown on the pastor's head and stuff like that. But we've got to get back to honoring and respecting our leaders. You see it naturally, too. People don't like the president, no matter who he is. And they're, the president this and the president. The Bible does not say criticize your leaders. It says pray for your leaders. Right? I mean, there are sometimes you can pick whatever president you like, and I could tell you something I didn't like about him. But that doesn't give me the place to criticize him. That doesn't give me the opportunity to say, oh, now I can pick on him. Now I can say bad things about him. They're still the leader. They're still the boss. And I've heard one person say it this way. They say, we're still suffering from some of the rebellion like back in the 60s and the 70s. Some of that attitude is still with us, that disrespect for leadership. You know how they used to say, don't trust anybody over 30. You know, they used to say that years ago, and I wasn't so much in the 60s, but just right after that. And there was a lot of this disrespect for leadership and for authority. And if they're a leader, they somehow got there by cheating or scheming or doing something wrong. And just because they're a leader doesn't make them better than me. No, that's true. It doesn't make them better than you, but they're different than you. People like to emphasize the fact that we're all part of the body of Christ and the family of God, and that's true. But did you know that Paul also talked about being a good soldier? Are all soldiers equal? No, they're not. If you think you're, if all soldiers think they're equal, some are going to the brig because they're not all equal. There's some people who are the commanders and some people who are the, you know, the privates and the generals and all the other stuff like that. And that's the same thing that we have to understand, because these verses here tell us that these spiritual leaders, which I think is a better way to say it than ministry gifts and all this, because some just lead, but they're still part of the body. These spiritual leaders were given to the body of Christ to equip them to do the work. The job of the pastor and the leader is to equip other people to do the work, not to do the work themselves. Sometimes, and this happens especially when it's starting out or things are smaller, you have spiritual leaders doing some of that work, and it's just a necessity. But it should come to the point where the spiritual leaders are able to spiritually lead and do those things instead of having their lives cluttered up with everything else. Because the more the leader has their life, the more the leader is out of their position doing the work of the ministry, then they're not in the position of equipping. I know you're excited about that. Please stop dancing on the tables. Let's go on here. Verse 13. So why are we going to do this? Why do we need to be equipped? Verse 13, that we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. See, we need to have good spiritual leaders so we're not children anymore, so we grow up spiritually, so we can take our place and we're not the baby trying to fly the airplane. There's been a lot of damage done in the body of Christ and in churches because somebody is a spiritual baby trying to lead other people. Like just a few months ago, I'll say it anyways. Just a few months ago, I'm teaching at our church. Pastor Alex says, Jim, you know, I want you to teach, what was it I was teaching on? No, last year I did the Daniel 70 weeks from the end times. That's what it was. Anyway, but I'm up there teaching and I get done. And this guy right after the service says, well, when's my turn to teach? And I wanted to say never. It's like, dude, you do not need to teach anybody. You need to teach yourself. Right? But this person thought, you know, you had a turn, now I get a turn. It's like, it doesn't work like that. No, everybody, because we're all equal in the family of God. No, we're not all exactly equal in the family of God. In a way we are, but in a way we're not. This is why there's a lot of children in the body, because they don't want to listen to the adults. You know, it's like in we've got to know about being led by the Spirit. Romans chapter 8 talks about we're led by the Spirit because we're the children of God, and the Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we're His children, all these things like that. We're led by the Holy Spirit from our Heavenly Father, right? We need to be led by our Heavenly Father, not by other children. When children try to lead children, what happens? It's chaos, right? But we've got too many children that, like he says here, they're tossed around with every wind of doctrine. And notice it doesn't say bad doctrine. Oh, now this is the extreme right now. Oh, I love this teaching. Oh, here's the next one now. Oh, this is great. This is great. Great. Oh, wait, here's another one. Here's another. Oh, wait, this is great. This is great. There's no stability there. There's no development because you're never settled in one place long enough. If trees could move, like in, what was it, Lord of the Rings, you know, they're running around. Yes, I do watch movies. Thank you very much. Hallelujah. Have a wonderful day. Have a good lunch. No. But, you know, the trees are walking around. If a tree could walk around, it would never put down roots. It would never grow right. And that's what a lot of Christians are doing. The other one that really gets me lately, that offends me, is everybody gets offended. I'm offended because everybody's offended. But people get so easily offended today. The pastor doesn't talk to him, or he didn't talk to him right, or he talked too long, or he talked too short, or it was too cold, or it was too hot, or they sang that song, or they didn't sing this song, or this was too... It's like, come on. We're like a bunch of little children sometimes. And I'm still growing and developing. I'm not trying to stand here and tell you I'm this super perfect Christian, because I'm not. I'm still growing and developing like everybody else. And one way I know I need to grow is to listen to my leaders, listen to the word, listen to the spirit. And God has given us men and women who are gifted to bring us the truth, to help equip us so that we will grow up and stop being a bunch of little children that are just tossed around and following every new fad and every new thing. And, ooh, that's wonderful. And, ooh, that's wonderful. And, ooh, that's wonderful. But that's what people are doing. And it's just ridiculous. Because we've got, we're sometimes... Notice I say we are sometimes not listening to the good teaching that God is giving us. We're not listening to that good teaching that God has given us, so we're not growing the way we should. Now, when you have children that are little, do they get to decide what to eat, or do the parents decide what they should eat? Now, honey, what do you want to eat today? Chocolate, chocolate. Okay, if that's what you want. You're going to have some pretty weird kids if that's all they ever eat, right? That's not a good child. I want chocolate. I want cake. I want ice cream. That might be what you want, but it's not really what you need. And we're so sometimes so driven by what we want, we're not looking at what we need. We think we're smarter than God. We're smarter than the pastor. We're smarter than the leader. And we're going to do it our way because we know so much. And this is why we are not developed sometimes the way we ought to be, because we're not listening to the leaders. It's God who's given us these. It said Jesus gave us gifts, apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. God gave us these gifts for a purpose, to equip us so that we're not just a bunch of little children, that we're not following every new thing like the Athenians. Oh, that's new. Oh, that's new. Oh, that's new. Oh, that's new. Because that's what the devil wants to do. I've seen it over my years of being a Christian. I'm sure some of the rest of you have as well, that there's always some doctrine that's being emphasized more than others. For a while it was faith, and then it was prosperity, and then it was prayer, and the bigger one now is grace, and you see all these things, and they're all true, but people try to pull one out like it's more important than everything else. They get focused on that, and then they're doing just like he said. They're tossed around with every wind of doctrine, here and there and here and there. No stability. I'm just following the Holy Spirit, Pastor. Well, we need somebody to work with the kids. I'm not called to work with the children. Hallelujah. Well, so what? Can you work with kids? Yeah. Are you doing something else that would restrict you from working with kids? No. Then work with the kids. I don't want to. Wrong answer again. You know? Well, let's keep reading here. I'll finish this part and then tell you my little story. But verse 15, he says, but speaking the truth in love may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. The spiritual leaders help to equip us so all of us are ready to give our part, so all of us are developed. Now, what would it be like if I've got a good right arm and my left arm is like a little three-year-old? You'd be like, dude, something's wrong here, right? Or my legs, I got these tiny little stick legs. You'd be like, something's wrong. You know, I still do a little, but I used to do a lot more weightlifting and stuff like this and reading some of these books by people, you know, like Arnold Schwarzenegger, the Austrian guy we all have heard of, I'm sure. But he talked about that there's some of these guys, they call them light bulb bodybuilders because they're building up their upper body and all these muscles here, but they don't do anything for their legs. They got these little stick legs and this huge upper body. Yeah, and they're still there. They're still working. You know, I went to speak at this other church in Wisconsin last Sunday morning, and I drove by one of these fitness centers, and the place is packed. They're in there building their body up. It's like, you ought to follow me to church and build up your spirit first. Paul told Timothy, bodily exercise profits a little, and it's good to do some of that. The older you get, the less you want to move, and you got to fight that, right? But the thing is, what are you emphasizing? What are you focusing on spiritually? Are you one of these light bulb Christians? You're developing some parts and not others because you don't like those parts? That's what happens if we're not getting good teaching from our spiritual leaders. Now, somebody said to me, well, what if I don't have a good spiritual leader? We have the case sometimes over there in Europe where people will come to the school and they have to send us a recommendation from, we say now, a leader. I don't know if we call it spiritual leader or just a leader, because some of them don't even have a church. There's no good church around there. People will contact us sometimes at our office in Bonn in Germany and say, I know somebody here or I live over there. Can you recommend a church? And we can't. There's nothing there. It's sad, which is part of why we're doing what we're doing, training people and helping them to develop so they can be a pastor. Because a baby doesn't fly an airplane. And a spiritual baby shouldn't lead a church. But you need a good spiritual leader to help feed you the truth from the Word. If you don't have a good spiritual leader, well, then you've still got the Word of God. But there's no substitute for this. There's no substitute for the Word, and there's no substitute for a good spiritual leader. We have people, you know, we've had people who get offended at us because I had to go to the hospital and nobody came to see me. And we're like, we didn't even know you were in the hospital. We can't come and see you if we don't know where you are, right? Well, aren't you led by the Spirit? Hello, yeah. But there's a thing called a telephone and email and everything else. But if you're having a situation in your life, you're going through something or whatever, you need a good leader to be able to talk to. You need somebody who you recognize as an authority figure spiritually that you can go to in the time and situation of life you're dealing with, whatever, somebody that you can get some good advice from, some good counseling from. There's another side. Oh, Jesus. Can we have like 3 more hours? No. It was like somebody came up to talk to me, and they're sharing with me all their problems and the cares of life and woe is me and all this stuff, and they were dealing with some things, and they said, well, what am I going to do? And I said, here's what you do. Here's what the Bible says. Think about what the Bible says. Talk about what the Bible says. And they're like, yeah, but you don't understand my problem. No, 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 I need something else. And I'm like, no, there is nothing else. This is it. This is it. And they're like, no, I don't like that. Well, I'm sorry if you don't like it, but it's still the truth. You know, go over to Hebrews. Wait, it's closer. Go to Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians 5. But this person rejected the wisdom I was trying to give them. They wouldn't listen. And then, sad story, this same person, I talked to somebody a while back, said, you know, you remember so-and-so? I said, yeah, I remember them. They weren't in our church. They weren't in this church. They're floating all over the place. And they said, you know, somebody saw them, and it's like they're out on the streets wandering around like they're a homeless person now. I'm like, really? They said, yeah, it's like they're totally messed up. And it's sad, and it makes me feel bad, because I've had this person call me at midnight, and I'm like, what's going on? Well, I have a problem. Yeah, and it's midnight. But I still wanted to help them. And I'm talking to them, and I'll pray for you and all this stuff. Okay, and we pray. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you, Pastor Jim. Now, let me tell you my problem again. No, no, stop telling me your problem. Listen to what I'm telling you. Think about what the Word says. Focus on that. Talk about that. Because whatever you're focusing on is what you're going to become passionate about. You get passionate about the truth of God, it'll change your life. But if you get passionate about your problem, guess what? You'll stay there forever. And this person is a perfect example. And it's really sad. But this person has just got weirder and more messed up over the years because they refuse to listen to spiritual leaders. No, this person told me, well, I got to be careful what I say or everybody will figure out who I'm talking about. But not you won't figure out, but other people might. Because there are some people, if they know I go somewhere, they'll go look for the recordings and listen and stuff like that. But this person, it's like in the book of Proverbs, where it talks about, I was somebody who wouldn't listen to my instructors, and now woe is me. If we don't listen to those people that are teaching us, that God has put into our life, like we were talking last night, if they're giving me some wisdom from God, they're in a spiritual leadership position, they're part of my life, I'm connected to them, they're not really my pastors, but we're still friends and I recognize them as leaders. If they give me some wisdom and I reject it, guess what? It's not going to hurt them. Now, maybe they'll feel bad if my life starts going downhill. Like when at the other church, anyways, I will leave that alone. Like the advice Pastor Rob gave me somewhere else one other time. I'll just say that right now. That's the end of that. No. But the reason we've got to have a good spiritual leader is the same as the Word of God, the Spirit of God, because that's part of how God is helping us to get to where we need to be. Part of the how we do the what to get to the why, part of how we do what God has called us to do to obtain all the great things we want is by following the Word, obeying the Word, following the Holy Spirit, and submitting to spiritual leadership. 1 Thessalonians 5, there's a verse here, and then we'll go over into Hebrews. But it's really sad to me to see some of this stuff. And it's it's something that I see more and more in the churches I go to. And I was just in a church. I was talking to him about this yesterday. I was just in a church where somebody in the church, and I think this person was actually in leadership, they were in the church and they were telling people stuff that was bringing a lot of fear, a lot of confusion. And the pastor of the church who started the church went to this person and said, would you please stop telling this to people? It's freaking everybody out. It's bringing fear, and God is not the author of fear, right? It's confusing people. God is not the author of confusion. And this person said, no, I'm going to keep doing it because it's true, and it's not true. But they said, no, I have a right to say this because we're equal in the family of God. No, that's wrong. If the pastor tells you something and you don't follow it, guess what? You never grow up. You never develop and get to that place that God wants you to be. Thank you very much. 1 Thessalonians 5. This is the part that gets everybody excited. Hallelujah. Can we have lunch? No, not yet. 1 Thessalonians 5, let's start in verse 12. He says, and we urge you, brethren, to recognize those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very, very highly in love for their work's sake. Be at peace among yourselves. And he goes on and says some other things. Now notice there, he says in verse 12, he said, recognize those who labor among you and are over you. And like I said, this is where sometimes the problem is, because often, normally, the spiritual leader, the pastor, is laboring among you, but they're still over you. And that's where the problem is, because we don't always recognize that. And I know sometimes some of the spiritual leaders in my life, like Pastor Alex, or we have a lady, Monica Wagner, we'd say, and she is the director of all the Bible schools within Europe. And sometimes she'll say, Jim, let's do this. She said to me recently, there's this thing in this class, I want you to change it to be more like this. And part of me was saying, I don't want to change that. And now we have a good relationship. And I said, now, Monica, this is what I think about it. I was able to share with her what I saw about it, my version or opinion of it or whatever. And she said, well, no, I think we should do like this. So then I said, okay, then we'll do it your way. I still didn't, so to speak, totally agree with it. It's kind of like climbing up a mountain, one side or the other side. It's still the same mountain. She wasn't trying to tell me to throw the Bible out or do something wrong. She just said, I think this is going to be a better way to present this certain thing. And I said, well, no, I teach this. I think it's better that way. She said, no, do it this way. Then I say, you're the leader. I'll do it your way. The Bible says we're supposed to esteem them highly. These people rule over us. It doesn't say we're supposed to be in agreement with them or like what they say. No, I have to be able to agree with what the pastor says, or I can't respect him. No, that's not right. That's not what the Bible says. Go over to Hebrews. I'll make you even happier here. Hebrews chapter 13. And the thing is, it's like Jesus said, if you know the truth, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed. John chapter 8, verse 32, and then like in 33. And he says, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. You've got to continue with it, and you've got to know it and understand it, and that's when you get set free. In fact, talking about Monica again, she teaches the class on grace. We have a class called Aspects of Grace. And because I'm doing other things, and I go teach in churches and schools and stuff like that, I'm not always around. But as much as I can, I go sit in at Bible school when people are teaching, even our Pastor Alex or Monica or whoever. I go to sit in the classes as much as I can, because I want to hear what God has to say through spiritual leaders. So I remember one time, this is a couple of years ago, it was actually back around 2008 or so, when there was some of this financial stuff going on, and my support comes from the U.S., like from wonderful people like you and other churches and people. And so when the dollar goes down, it's like I'm losing money. And it was up at about $1 equaled 1.2 euros, 1 euro and 20 cents, and it went down in 2008 to 60 cents. So it was like everything, all my expenses doubled, and my support got cut in half. Well, that's not good. So I'm like, okay, Lord, you know, hallelujah, you've got a good answer for me. What am I going to do? So one weekend, it was a Saturday, I remember, I think in May. I'm like Brother Hagin, it was a Saturday in May. Well, hallelujah, and walk real slow. But I go to the class with Monica. She's teaching on grace. You know, we have saving grace, we have serving grace, we have standing grace, all these different things. It's a great study. And she's teaching about grace. My biggest need at the time is financial. wisdom. What do I do with this situation? That's what I'm needing. So she's standing there teaching on grace, and Monica's a great teacher too. She's German. She went to Rheim USA, but she's from down in southern Germany. Anyway, and you'd like her if you met her. Anyway, she's teaching on this, and all of a sudden she said something. I'm like, that's the answer. That's what I needed to hear. And I almost started jumping up and down. I mean, Monica knows me, so if I did, she'd like, yeah, that's Jim. But she said something in a certain way that gave me the answer I was looking for. When I put myself in a place to submit to my spiritual leader, to listen to what they had to say to me, and not sit there like, who does she think she is? I met her when she was in Bible school. I already graduated. I went there to listen, to hear the word from the spiritual leader, and it helped to change my life. God gave me a key to turn around that situation. And in 2008, when the devil was telling me, you're not going to have enough money, you're going to have to leave the country, you're going to have to go back to America, and you'll be a failure, it went on and on. Well, I'm still there. 7 years later, I'm still there. God helped to turn that situation around. But it came because I was willing to sit and listen to a spiritual leader as they taught the word, and the Holy Spirit helped me to understand the word. He's the real teacher. But how does he teach us? He'll speak to us in our heart. He'll speak to us through the word, but he'll speak to us through our spiritual leaders. Because that's how the Bible says we get equipped. It's through the word and by the Holy Spirit, of course, but that also comes through spiritual leaders. And here in Hebrews, well, let me find my verse, Hebrews 13 and, yeah, verse 7. He says, remember those who rule over you and have spoken the word of God to you, whose faith follow, considering the outcome of their conduct. He says, consider those who rule over you. Some versions might say lead you, but there are people, like we saw in 1 Thessalonians, people who are laboring among us, but they are over us in the Lord. And it's good if they labor among you, if you're part of that group that they're in, because then you get to know who they are. Here he says, you need to follow their faith. Consider those people and follow their faith. Well, how can you follow the faith of somebody you're not connected to and how you're not submitted to? You can't. We all need good examples of godly men and women, of good spiritual leaders, so we can see how they've gone ahead of us, how we can follow them, how they can lead us. There are people that labor among us, but they have the rule over us. And until we get it through our little brains, that God has set this order in the church, and we have to listen to those people, we have to respect those people, we have to honor those people. Until we start doing that, we're not going to go where we need to go. You know, talking about this thing that Sibylle's parents went to Greece, when the Grunewalds were the pastors of our church, we took them an offering to send them on vacation. We honored them as our pastors. We do that with them still and the different leaders and things. You know, Monica, she just had a birthday last month. I gave her something as a gift because I wanted to honor her as my leader. Because, see, that's the thing. You've got the pastor. You've got other leaders in different things. You know, maybe you've got the leader with the youth or with the kids, and there's different leaders in different situations. But whatever situation we're in, whoever that leader is, we need to be submitting to them, even though they're laboring with us. We can't go beyond that line where they just become another person to us. It's wrong if you have some of these people I've seen where they're like living in the clouds and you can't ever talk to them or touch them, you know, and they just float in before the service and then they float out afterwards and you never can even talk to them. That's not right either, because the Bible says there that they're laboring among us, but they still rule over us. God has gifted some people to be able to teach the word in a way that will help equip us to prepare us to do the things he's called us to do. Why do we want to do that? So we can reach those goals that God has given us. Throughout my life, God has put me in connection with good spiritual leaders who have helped me to go forward and to accomplish the things that God has called me to do. I wouldn't be where I am today if I didn't have good spiritual leaders. And that's just a fact. And I remember, and I'll even tell you his name, Pastor Howard Cruzy. If he would ever hear this, he's a great guy. And I still remember he was one of the pastors at the church that I went to. He, you know, we'd have different people get voted in and voted out, and it was kind of crazy. And I remember when he took over the church, and I thought, you know, he's not doing stuff right. This guy, I wish he would do this, and I wish he would do that, and I wish he'd do the other. And that's how I thought. And he was a good teacher, preacher. You know, I'd listen, oh, that's really nice. But I kept having these thoughts, like, I wish he would do this, and I wish he would do that. That's what I thought in my brain, in my little brain, because it's so smart and it knows everything. Well, a couple years later, after I left and I started growing a little bit more, I looked back and said, you know what, Pastor Cruzy was pretty smart. He was a lot smarter and a lot more spiritual than I thought he was. And I did have the opportunity to visit with him when he was still in that church. After I left and I came back, had lunch with him, we talked and stuff like that. And he was really a better leader than I gave him credit for. But because I wanted, yeah, he's laboring among us and he rules over me, but you know what? I know some things too. And I don't have to do this to be nice to him, and I don't have to really respect him because he doesn't do it right. I was hindering my own growth and development and getting to where God wanted me to. I was hindering myself. Paul talked to the Galatians about some of the wrong things that they had been paying attention to, and he said, who hindered you that you didn't obey the truth? Well, sometimes we're hindering ourselves. There's nobody else or the devil we can even blame. The devil, sometimes he can go on vacation because the Christians are all destroying themselves. We're our own worst enemy. Now, before I was a Christian, I was kind of a mean person, and I was not so nice as I am today. And I started to work in this church after Bible school, and I was still a little bit more on the tell it like it is, so to speak, side. And I remember one time I got up there, and I'd do the announcements on Sunday mornings, and, you know, once in a while I'd be teaching, and I did a lot of work with the youth. There were things, like in every church, where people, I don't like this, and I don't like that, and why did Pastor do that thing, and I'm not happy, you know, all that kind of stuff. And I got tired of hearing it. So I got up on Sunday morning, and I said, well, you know, a lot of people have been coming to me and saying, Pastor Jim, there's something wrong with our church, and we're not this, and we didn't have that, and I don't like it, and Pastor Jim, and I said, well, that's true, you know. Everything is not perfect. And you could see people like, yeah, that's right, it's not perfect. I won't say that part. Anyway, so I said, well, you want to know what's wrong with our church? You want to know why our church isn't going forward like it should? I said, go home and look in the mirror. Yeah, that was the reason. And I thought, I better wait here a long time after the service ends because they'll be waiting for me out in the parking lot. We had a big pulpit, so I'm kind of hiding. And that was one of those, the pastor's like, now, Jim, that's maybe not the best way to say that. I used to say stuff, and afterwards he'd be like, now, Jim, but it's true. We want to know where our problems are. Sometimes we just got to look in the mirror because we're not obeying the word. We're not following the spirit, and we're not submitting to those people who rule over us. We should try and do everything we can, and I got flesh just like everybody else. I got a little brain just like everybody else, and we get focused on what we want or we think. But we need to honor the men and women of God that he's put into our lives so that they're able to do their job and equip us and not do all the work for us. But too many times, instead of the players playing the game, the coach is out there trying to play the game. And the players are all sitting there saying, I don't want to play, you do it for me. And that's not right. No team would ever be a success that would do that. Can you imagine one guy out there and there's 11 guys on the other side and they just squish him every play? You know, the score is like 700-0 at the end of the game, and the coach gets up there and says, I just got to try harder next time. I guess I'm not doing everything like I should. And the players are back there saying, that's right, you're not good enough. Huh? We'd all think those people were crazy, but that's what we're doing in the church a lot of times. You need the word. Without the word, like I said, 2 Timothy chapter 3 talks about the word will help to equip us. But that's not all there is. Because if that's all there was, and I just read this book a while back, somebody recommended, and I didn't like the book, but it was all about how this person actually said, we need to tear down and destroy the current church system where there's a pastor and a leader because that's not right. And I'm like, destroy? I'm like, you scare me a little bit when you talk like this. But this person said that we don't need leaders, that God has called us all and we're all the same. So everybody has just as much a right to lead as anybody else. And I thought, that's not even biblical. Because if that was, what's Ephesians 4:11 doing in there? What's 1 Thessalonians 5:13 and Hebrews 13:12 or 7? What are all those verses doing there then when it talks about people ruling over us, us submitting to our leaders? Why are those verses in there if we don't need a leader? Because God is smarter than we are. He knows we need a leader. He knows we need the word, and he's given us the word. He's put the Holy Spirit on the inside of us. We don't always recognize him, but he's put the Holy Spirit on the inside of us to help us, to train us and develop us, given us the word to help us, train us and develop us, and given us spiritual leaders so we're not just a bunch of little children anymore, but we grow up and we give our supply to the body, that we have something to give. That's the way it's supposed to be. In most churches, it's not that way, and it's sad, but that's the way it should be. And again, I'm not saying, you know, when the pastor shows up, you blow the trumpets and roll out the red carpet and he comes marching in on a pony or something, you know, and you're throwing flowers in front of him. Maybe we could try that tomorrow. Can we do that for me? No. And I make the guy in L.A., he's another, the guy I'm going to see next week. And we all went to Bible school too, and he's funny. I mean, we have a lot of fun. And he was picking me up at the airport one time, and he pulls up and says, "Oh, man, you know," I said, "you left the man of God standing here for 5 minutes." And we always had this kind of joke going about the man of God because we've all seen these abuses. A lot of us who are in leadership have gone through some of these things. We've been involved with leaders who have mistreated people and misused people, and there's been a lot of hurt and a lot of damage. But that does not do away with the legitimate truth of spiritual leaders who are there to guide us and help us. It's, as they say, throwing out the baby with the bathwater. And I get more and more where this is a subject I purposely want to bring up because I see what's happening in churches. And so many churches, they're ineffective because everybody's not given their supply. People don't even realize they've got a gift. They don't realize they're supposed to do something. They don't know how they're supposed to do what they're supposed to do. They see the why. I want the blessings of God. I want to do God's will, most people believe. Most Christians want to do God's will. They just don't know how. You've got to start with the what and how to get to the why. And the why is where we all want to live. That's where we individually want to be. That's where we want to be as a church, to get up to that next level and to make a great impact for God and to make history. So that if Jesus tarries for 100 years, when we're all dead and gone, they'll say, "Those people at City Park Church, man, they were awesome people." Like we talk about Azusa Street Revival or some of these different things, and we look back and say, "Wasn't that awesome?" Well, we ought to be awesome today. We ought to be an awesome church that people are like, "Man, City Park Church, what a church. Those guys had the standard of excellence like nobody else. These people are high-quality people. You go there, everybody's friendly. Look at all this stuff." Can you imagine this? You go to the pastor and say, "I want to help in the church," and you're like, "Every position's filled." Or you say, we need 3 people to help working with kids, and 10 people come up. "We need somebody to help," you know, you just renovated all this stuff, "but we need somebody to help us clean," and you get 20 people show up for 5 jobs. Wouldn't that be awesome? Yeah. Now, I've never seen that yet. Well, I don't know this church good enough, so it's probably happening here, right? Yes. I mean, they're not telling me anything, right? So there's not a little microphone, you know, thing in my ear. "Yes, Pastor Bob, I'll say that next." Okay, the next thing is, "And Massachusetts is great, all right? And Schweinfurt, Germany, über alles." No. Yeah, go Patriots. Hey, hooray Tom Brady, whatever. No, but this is something that I've seen, something that I've gone through in my own life, that we need to know what it is God wants us to do and how to do it. And really, it's just the word, the spirit, and our spiritual leaders, and being faithful is another big part of it. Because if you're not faithful, like Jesus said, if you're faithful in little things, you'll be faithful in big things. And if you're not faithful in what belongs to somebody else, you'll never get your own thing to do. A lot of times, God will lead us to connect with other people and the vision that God has given them, which will help to lead us to the vision he's given us. I would like it if we had more people that said, "I clean the bathroom. I clean the bathroom. I change babies' diapers. Hallelujah." You know, even Paul worked in the children's ministry. Did you know that? Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, he said, "Not all will sleep, but all will be changed." Doesn't work in German, so I got to use it when I'm here. No, but whatever God wants us to do, whatever he calls us to do is important. And it's part of the plan that God has for the world. It's part of the plan he has for our lives and for our churches. And if we'll do his will, we'll be happier than we could ever imagine. Because our lives a lot of times are made up of our lives a lot of times are the product of the things we've gone through, where we've come from, our experiences, and we're off course. And it takes God, by his word, by the Holy Spirit, by our leaders, to help direct us and to bring us back to where we should be. And sometimes God is saying, this is where you need to go, and we think, that's not where I want to go, but it's really the best way to go, which, again, is why you need a good leader. So you can talk to your leader, say, you know what, Pastor, I got this thing in my heart, and I'm not sure, but, you know, can you help me with some of this stuff? And they can't tell you what to do in your life. But it's better to have somebody you can talk to than nobody, or watch the preacher on TV and then try and call him and ask him to come to the hospital when you're sick or something, or when your family has a crisis. It ain't going to happen. They'll just say, send in another offering. That'll be good. No. But God has great plans for us. When I was here last year, I remember right before I got up to speak, God was talking to me and said, there is such a destiny on this church, and I really believe it. I believe God has great plans for you here. I believe God has something special he wants to do in Gresham and in Oregon through all of you. But how do we do it? By being zealous for those good works, the word, the spirit, spiritual leaders, that's how we get to that desired destination. Amen? So thank you for being here for Bible school. I hope you learned something. Hope it was beneficial. You were wonderful listeners. So pat yourselves on the back when you leave, right? Before you go to lunch.
Come on, give it up for Jim. Woo, yeah. Hallelujah. You guys know that I labor among you and am your leader as well. So I don't want to, the reason why I love to labor among you and work side by side is because I don't want to miss out on anything. I like getting dirty. I like filling 11 dumpsters with lath and plaster. Not really, but, you know, I like to see the transformation of this building, and I like to see the transformation of people. Amen? And more so.